Yes, we at The Takeaway would be remiss if we didn't leave you this hour and this week thinking about what's going on in Washington, D.C. with the sequester. The deadline approaches. There is no deal. Todd Zwillick rejoins us, Takeaway Washington correspondent, and Andrea Seabrook, the host of the Decode D.C. podcast and a familiar voice to all of our public radio listeners out there. Andrea and Todd, welcome.
Hi.
Thanks. Great to be here.
Hi, Andrea.
Hi.
So, you guys are quite a pair down there. Let's start with the politics of this. My sense is that Americans are just too numbed, Andrea, to even get up the energy to blame anyone in particular on this. But what are you seeing?
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I keep wondering, after all these sort of rolling crises, debt ceiling and the budget and the shutdowns and the sequestration, like, when is the public going to be sick and tired of Congress crying wolf? I mean, we all know that the consequences of these things could be huge, but it just seems like this mass hysteria every time Congress might leave something to happen. It stops making any sense at all after a while.
Todd Zwillick, does it make any sense to you at this point?
Well, you know, the two sides, John, have for weeks set about making sure that the other side takes the blame when sequestration hits. And that's how you knew that there weren't any serious negotiations going on, because they were just setting up the other guy to fail. The real tragedy of this is that sequestration and all of the budget fights, they're serious. They have a serious impact on the country. They have a serious impact on real, regular people, usually people who are middle, lower middle class, by the way. But Andrea's right. As wolf gets cried and we go from crisis to crisis to crisis, the public gets sick of it, understandably, disengaged, but at the same time, it's not unimportant. It's really important, and that's when politicians get away with stuff that the public hates, when they're not paying attention or they're just so over it that they can't stand the news anymore.
Well, there's a real irreconcilability here. People say that the deficit is serious, and lawmakers argue this all the time, and then we argue that the cuts of the sequester are serious. It's sort of serious versus serious, and it kind of cancels itself out. And I think that's part of the gridlock on Capitol Hill. What we've noticed among our listener response to this story is that while there may be uncertainty around the Beltway as to what to do, our listeners are very clear about this. And I wonder if you would play a little game with us here.
Sure.
Oh, yeah, I'm game.
All right. So first of all, we got a name for it. We're going to play
The Price is Wrong.
So The Price is Wrong or The Price is Right? The question here is, listeners have made suggestions of what to cut. And this isn't the hardest game in the world, but I want you to try to predict which cuts these listeners, we're going to play four clips for you, have suggested actually represent the greatest sort of savings here. All right? So here's caller number one.
This is Jeffrey calling from Michigan. We should cut all foreign military aid. We could save billions and billions of dollars if we would just mind our own business.
All right. Foreign military aid. How much do you think that is? Here's caller number two.
My name is Jonathan Tunis, calling from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. I would like to see them cut all of the senators and congressmen's salaries until this thing is resolved.
All right. All the salaries of senators and congressmen. How many billions do you think that is? Here's number three.
This is Bob from Brooklyn, New York. Cut the military budget. Half of it is pork barrel spending. Have the draft. The all-volunteer military with career personnel means you have people drawing all kinds of extra pay, hazardous duty pay, combat pay, and the taxpayers have to support their families.
All right. Bob says cut the defense budget. That may be a trick question because he wants to institute the draft. So there's a cost associated with that. You might lose some savings there. Do that calculation. And finally, here's caller number four.
This is Joel from Brooklyn. I say fire the bunny inspectors. The USDA has got federal inspectors checking magic acts that use rabbits to make sure they have a federal license. Fire them all. Just fire them.
We wanted to use that bunny inspector clip just because we could preempt wait, don't tell me this weekend. So Todd and Andrea, which cut is the deepest? Is it all U.S. foreign military aid, the salaries of everyone in Congress, half the defense budget, but remember, they're adding the draft, or USDA bunny inspectors? Todd, you start.
Well, if you're looking just for savings from those four choices, there's no question defense spending is where the money is. Cutting
all right,
congressman's
let's get Andrea's answer here. Go ahead, Andrea.
Yeah, none of the other options come anywhere near the amount of money that is spent in the Defense Department. Todd's absolutely right.
You sure about that?
Yeah.
Really sure.
We're positive.
Really positive.
All right, well, let me give you the numbers. Foreign military aid is $17.9 billion. It's actually a bigger number than I thought it was. Salaries of congressmen, that's only $93.9 million. I mean, that's a paltry sum compared to what we're dealing with here. The military, we didn't get the bunnies inspectors because, frankly, I don't even want to know the number there. But for the military budget, half of the military budget is $369.35 billion. You're absolutely right. But if you add the draft back, it actually comes down to about $300 billion. So you lose some savings there. But you're right. Military is where most of the money is spent. Final thoughts, guys?
Yeah. You know, I mean, Todd's absolutely right that these sequester issues are really important. But I think it takes our eye off the ball here as Americans. And the truth is, we, the government, haven't been doing any budgeting at all for several years now. And without a budget, here's, you know, you can't make plans, you can't do this and that. But more importantly, you can't oversee how and whether the programs are actually working. And that, I think, is the real problem here behind it all.
And the sequester is going to take out a lot of inspectors and federal oversight regulators who are doing precisely what you're talking about there, Andrea Seabrook. So, Todd Zwillick, your final thoughts here?
Well, cutting lawmakers' pay is definitely enticing. Unfortunately, unconstitutional. I'll just say that. But more broadly, yes, cutting defense spending is part of this, but this is really about priorities going forward. We've got about $2 trillion left to cut, left to save on the debt if we want to get on a healthy debt-to-GDP ratio, make the debt healthy within the economy. This is all about priorities. We can have a lot of things, but we can't have our baby boom generation retiring and our defense spending and our Medicare and our taxes relatively low, don't forget about revenue, all at the same time. We can do it. It's about priorities, and I think that's what listeners were responding to. Bunny inspectors, notwithstanding.
Notwithstanding. Can we end the week on a yes or no, guys?
Yeah.
All right, Todd Zwillick, is the budget process broken in Washington, period, the end?
Yes, it is.
Andrea Seabrook?
Oh, yes.
All right, so with all those, that laundry list from Todd, and the budget process is broken, that's your sequester thought for the weekend. Todd Zwillick and Andrea Seabrook, thanks so much. Have a great weekend.
Great
to be
here. You too.
Todd Zwillick is Takeaway Washington correspondent. Andrea Seabrook is the host of the Decode DC podcast. Earlier in the show, we talked about Americans eating healthier. Food sales suggest that we're consuming significantly more organic food and significantly less red meat than we did a decade ago. We asked you, do you feel healthier than you did a year ago? A listener from New York writes, nope, 2 years ago I was in the best shape of my life, now the worst. Uh-oh. Some of you don't see the need to change a thing. A listener in Denver says, I have been precisely 15 pounds overweight for 18 years, and I couldn't be happier about it. Now, just because you're 15 pounds overweight does not necessarily mean you're unhealthy, that's for sure. Tell us about your health these days. What is your strategy? What have you changed over the last year? Are you feeling healthier or less? Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE. And get an early jump on our conversations. You can be in our listener response network. You basically... we text you a question featured on the next day's show. Text START to us at 69866 and join the network. Have a great weekend. I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.